Here we go. You should be able to talk here, Seth. I made sure to unmute you this time. Yes, I did. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 45 of the Rocket Punch Show. I'm one of your hosts, the man behind the console here, Cameron. Joining me, as always, is the Dark Lord of Hype himself, Mr. Seth Turner, a.k.a. Darth Turner, a.k.a. however you want to call him. Seth, I heard you're ready to go, man. You found the secret to a successful podcast. What is that?
Big margaritas, big old margaritas. Yeah. I've got this great trend going where like I'm craving Mexican every Sunday, which just so happens to be when we record this podcast. Also, we're in a labor shortage right now. So there's even fewer places open on Sundays, except Mexican restaurants are still open on Sundays.
Well, some of them are.
So yeah, big ass margarita. I got a picture of it over on Twitter.com/Darth Turner, so you can go check that out. Man, I'm ready to talk about video games. Listen, I'm back into Genshin Impact. I'm sick, man. Help me. This is a cry for help. I'm reaching out to you, the audience of twitch.tv/Rocket Punch Live, to help me.
I've resisted the pull of Genshin Impact for a while now. I knew what it was as soon as I saw it. I was like, nope, not going to touch it, not going to bother with it. Not saying it's a bad game. It's just not for me. Not gonna cross that road, not going to go down
that.
It's
not bad, dude. I only spun for wishes 14 times today. I did 14 wish spins.
14. So it's fine. And how much 14. Did that cost you?
It didn't cost me anything because I play that game too much.
Oh,
and I had a
okay.
bunch of currency that had been accumulated, but there was some really cool characters that I wanted to get. One flame boat. Girl, I'm using very articulate language there because that was hard for me to create in my head. She's got like a flame bow. She's really cool.
Okay. There's
this other girl that makes like an ice shield. I was like, those two are cool. And of the four pools that you can get, those were two of them. So I was like, I'm going all in. So I redeemed some coins. But no, I haven't dropped any money on that game yet. We'll see.
Give it time. I feel like you've got one toe in the water, and all it takes is a push.
All it takes. Yeah, so the big thing that happened there is I finally got my PSN account issue sorted, so now my progress from my mobile and PC version of that game carried over to the PlayStation 5 version. So
I can now,
like, play, and in theory, I could, like, buy those purchases on PlayStation, so that's probably what I would do to support PlayStation. But yeah, so we'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
Well, help me. It's that time of year, dude.
It's that time of year. It's the time of year. It's you know, mid-August. It's, you know, we don't really have a lot of huge gigaton games dropping. I mean, the next Madden game is coming up soon. Psychonauts is coming out. We're definitely going to talk about that.
Hades hit Game Pass. That's the big news. Hades is on Game Pass.
I've played on PC, though. It's good. It's awesome.
Okay,
I love it.
You played on PC.
No, I'm not going to hate on Hades. Hades is great. I still have to beat it. I've been playing it on a PC. But I also like having it available not only on Xbox and consoles, period, but also having access to have it on Game Pass is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely going to say. Very awesome, indeed.
I think my fiance is like almost done. She got to the final boss, but didn't quite make it, so she's still pushing forward for that. But she started playing yesterday. She's the coolest, man. She just destroys games. Ends games entirely.
She's doing it right, then. She's doing it right. What have I been playing? I know. Football season's kicking up, like I talked about last week, so definitely been in the Madden game there. I really haven't had a want to play. I wanted to jump back into Death Stranding, but on my PC, but work has been very busy and whatnot, so I haven't really bothered too much with it there. But no, Madden is like I play a quick game in franchise real fast and I'm done. So gaming is, I feel that lull in gaming right now. Definitely gonna see what this next version of Madden is gonna be like, even though I hate the fact that you have to pay $60 every year. And I'll be honest, most of the people probably don't even pay $60. It's probably $70 or $80 for the little promo big boy package. I don't know. I don't care.
No, that's what it's called. It's Madden 22 Big Boy Package. That's what it is. The kids love it. Parents love it.
$89.99. Rutu in chat says Diablo 2 beta? I have no nostalgia for Diablo 2, so I wasn't going to jump into that.
Yes.
I see what you did.
I sat on twitch.tv for 2.5 hours to get a beta key because I'm sick and wanted to play that. So full disclosure, of the games that I have kind of built my gaming foundation on, it was Half-Life, Counter-Strike 1.6, and Diablo 2. Each of those games at least 300 hours each. Like, it is redonkulous how much I played these games as a kid. So when I booted up that beta, I want you to know, like, had this, like, we talked about this last week. I'm on a Dune kick right now, getting ready for the movie. So I had this, like, moment where, like, the menu music came up, and then it was, like, zoom in to, like Paul's eye, and you're, like, you're experiencing all the timelines at once. They all converge at this moment, and I was like, oh, this is so nostalgic. And yet we played Act 1. We killed Unreal with my friend, and that game is real good. That remaster is very good. They did a great job. They did the whole Master Chief Collection where you can like press the key and it switches between the old and the new graphics.
Oh, cool. I didn't know they did that.
It's really cool. They up-resed that game. It's a perfect remaster of that game.
Well,
you remember.
I hope that's going to go well because they need all the wins they can get right now, I think, in the whole Blizzard camp. We talked about that last week. Not a Blizzard
game. That's a Vicarious Visions game.
Oh, okay. All right. Rutu asks, is it going to be $40? I don't know.
Yes, it is. And it is a digital-only game.
Ah, okay. So you must get it on the Blizzard store.
Either the Blizzard store or if you're getting it on because it is on consoles with cross-progression.
Very cool.
But it is digital only, which is kind of weird because Blizzard's always been known for like really interesting and cool physical editions.
Mm-hmm.
But also Blizzard's dead and dying. Both of those things. So
the talking about Diablo 2 Remastered, another beta happened this weekend. I don't know. I did not get a chance to play it. Totally forgot about it. The Back 4 Blood beta. Seth,
yes,
did you play it?
Like that too. Listen, Cameron, you know what? You know what? I'm going to need you to mail your gamer card. Just put it in a self-addressed envelope. Mail it in. I got you, fam. So, Back 4 Blood, they made more Left 4 Dead. And that's a good thing. It feels exactly like Left 4 Dead did.
Just with a 2021 4K HD screen.
Some things that I really like about that, and I think we talked a little bit about it last week, but I'll kind of reiterate some of those points and reflect on it some more. So it follows the Left 4 Dead formula of you have a campaign that you kind of play through, right? And each campaign has like multiple missions that you kind of progress through. You're doing, it's not just like get from point A to point B. There are kind of cinematic events where you have to like, you know, two people may have to like go and retrieve or repair some kind of engine while the other two like defend their exit or whatever. So there's like a lot of interesting stuff there. But what I really think is cool is the customization of the weapons. They basically have the Apex Legends style attachment system. So you can get like a shotgun, you know, they have the different rarities of the shotguns, but then you can also get like a, you know, green, blue, purple, or orange attachment to go on it. And I think that is really cool and adds like a lot of variety to the builds. I also love the special infected, because you remember the Left 4 Dead ones, right? And some of them are like interesting reimaginings of those. So they didn't like copy the boomer over exactly, if you remember the boomer.
Yeah.
But like this one, like he runs at you and explodes, so it makes it a whole lot more aggressive versus like the boomer was like this sneaky thing where you'd like catch him around a corner or something. I really like what they did with Back 4 Blood. That game belongs on Game Pass, and I'm glad it's coming out on Game Pass. So
okay, yeah,
the beta was fun.
Man, I don't think they're gonna have another open beta. Maybe I'll get a chance to work it in, because I think the beta goes through tomorrow, the 16th. So Four Gatherers, thank you for the follow. Welcome to the Rocket Punch crew. Come on in, get settled in. I haven't played many games. I feel kind of bad. I'll make up for it next week. Well, maybe not. We'll talk.
Like you host a gaming podcast. Look,
we will talk after the show. Okay, just guys, give me a break. I got to pay the bills. I got to make sure the power's coming in through the house. There is, you know, even with the summer lull and, you know, we're waiting on new games to release in the fall, there's still a couple of things to talk about, guys. We're going to talk about this big rumor here that possibly means GTA games are going to get remastered. We're going to talk about what Xbox may have planned for us at Gamescom 2021 this year. And we're also going to talk about No Man's Sky. Seth is 5 years old. And I feel that's too long.
No, it's not.
It is. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more, guys, because this is the Rocket Punch Show, your southern source for all things gaming, geek, and more. You can listen to us every Tuesday on your podcast service of choice. You can also listen to us live as we record the show each and every Sunday evening right here on twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. I want to give a shout out to everybody tuning in via Twitch. Thank you guys for tuning in live. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. Guys, if you want to know more about the content I make for you, make sure you head over to RocketPunchGo.com. That is your one-stop shop for all the cool stuff that I've got rolling your way there. Guys, as you're listening to the show, whether you're watching or you're listening in via audio services, if you want to find out how you can support us, if you think we're doing a great job, there's a couple of different ways to do that, but we'll talk about that later on in the show. House cleaning here before we get started in the main topics, of course, guys. As I talked about last week, I've got a planned scope for streaming and video content coming to you guys here. That's going to start August 30th. So if you've been dying to see me do something other than the Rocket Punch Show on Sunday nights, and you want to see me play some games and talk about other gaming-related stuff throughout the week, stay tuned in starting August 30th for that, as well as some cool video content. I've got an idea for a video, and I'm going to do it, and Seth has an inkling about it. All I'm going to tease and say is that my PS5 broke, and I'm cataloging that experience. That's all I'm going to say about it right now. We're going to talk about, I'm going to have a video and all sorts of other good ideas that I've got cooking up for there. So stay tuned for that. Seth, Let's jump right into it here. let me see. Let's make sure that buttons work. If not, I'm going to have to smack my computer around a little bit. No, of course it is not. I'll force it to work there. But as I'm forcing it to work here, guys, we've got an interesting report from IGN this past week. Wesley LeBlanc over at IGN.com is talking about possibly a Grand Theft Auto remastered trilogy is in the works, including for the Nintendo Switch, which is very interesting here. Going to read this report here from him, a little bit from his article here. A new report claims that a Grand Theft Auto remastered trilogy is on the way for multiple platforms, including the Nintendo Switch, and it's reportedly due out this fall. This news comes by way of Kotaku, which reports that it has learned from sources that Rockstar Games is remastering GTA 3, Vice City, and San Andreas, and that each game will be remastered in Unreal Engine. They will feature a mix of new and old graphics, the report reads. According to the report, Rockstar's Scottish branch, Rockstar Dundee, that's fucking awesome name, is leading the project and also working with the wider Rockstar company to develop the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS ports of GTS 5 scheduled later this year. Rumors of such a remastered trilogy have been around for years, and they gained even more traction when Rockstar began using DMCA takedowns to remove fan remasters. One of Kotaku's sources told the publication that they saw footage of the remasters running and that the graphics reminded them of a heavily modded version of a classic GTA game. The UI is being remastered for each game too, although the classic style and design of each will remain the same. According to Kotaku, these titles are hoping to, quote, stay true to the PS2 era GTA games as much as possible. Seth, what do we think? How would you feel if you hurt you get home, you're at home one day, you're relaxing, you're enjoying, you know, having a good time, you hear a knock on the door, you open it up, and it's Rockstar made real as a person that says, hey Seth, here you go, here are some remasters of some of the best games out there in the GTA franchise. How do you feel about that? How does that make you feel?
It's okay. Remastering these games is very smart. I personally think it would be a big, like, it would sell well. Sorry.
Of course it will.
It will sell extremely well. I will tell you, I've been reading and consuming game information and news for a long time. And I will say, of all the, like, mainstream rumor things, this one definitely feels like one of the weakest rumors I think I've ever heard. Really? I personally don't think this is a thing that is actually, if it might exist, it might exist as some kind of like project. I just don't see Rockstar at the state that they're in looking at GTA 3, Vice City, and San Andreas and being like, man, we're going to release new versions of these for the Switch and things like that. It, when you look at like what they're trying to do with the GTA 5 and Red Dead, they're definitely interested in games as a service, online, pushing that envelope, right? And so yeah. This kind of comes out of left field for me. And when I was reading this, first off, IGN is not a site that is known for breaking news. They're not, I don't think they're, that they don't, I don't even think they have a network of like leakers that they can like tap into. I'd be very interesting to hear what this source is.
No, they say they are pulling this article from Kotaku.
Okay.
And this is coming from Kotaku by way of Zach Zuizen. Wow, that's a lot of Z's.
Okay. That carries Kotaku, a little bit more.
That's why I was like, there's a little bit more weight there that now yeah. Kotaku's pulling a fair amount of that around there.
Like, people love these games. People love these games. And these games are old. I won't say that they like aged amazingly, but man, are they fun to play. Like, they are a product of their time. I think Vice City in particular is just a really great throwback game. I just think that the amount of work you'd have to put in to like make those updated enough to feel fresh, especially to feel like you'd want to spend more than like, you know, $20 on them or something, you know, and I don't know what their plan for selling these are, but I know back a couple years, maybe about 5 or 10 years ago, they like re-released them all on like mobile.
Yeah.
And at that time they did a lot of asset updates. They, you know, optimized for higher resolutions and those mobile versions. I remember getting Vice City on iPhone and playing it on iPhone and iPad. A lot of fun with it. Great blast, you know, good time, you know, lots of fun, but all in all, they'll sell well, but I don't think anyone's clamoring for this. It's weird. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts, because I personally, like, I remember playing GTA as a kid, but as I've grown up, I really haven't gone back to that franchise much at all. You know, that kind of game has never really, like, appealed to me in a lot of ways, so that's... I would be curious to hear, do you have a more nostalgia for GTA than I do, and, like, are you excited for this?
I remember, oh Jesus, don't tell anybody because I wasn't 17 yet, but I was in middle school when GTA 3 came out, and I remember I remember going over to my friend's house because he like got it from the store, and we played it on his PS2, and then I finally ended up, like, I was able to buy it off a friend in middle school, and I had it on my PlayStation 2, and I played it, and it was I loved it. And then, of course, Vice City comes out, and oh, it's so good, and then San Andreas comes out, and oh, it's so good, and yeah, I definitely have a lot of nostalgia for these. Do I want a remastered trilogy? It depends, really. I think that these games are very powerful, and I think if they can take what they've learned and implemented in GTA 5 with a lot of the detail, not only just from a graphical update, but from like the detail and things that you can do, I think if they add stuff like that back into these worlds, then those would be great things to revisit. And see, you know, GTA 5, you can do so much in there, but I feel like these games back then, you could do some things here or there, but not a whole lot, or not nearly as much, especially like you talk about GTA 3, you know, that was that first iteration. And so they had limiters on what you could do. Honestly, it's, you know, for all the young kids out there, the GTA 3, I believe, was the first game that really kick-started the open world genre. Because you basically, the world loaded in once and you went wherever you wanted to. And, you know, everybody knows the GTA formula.
Yeah.
But if it's just we reskinned the game, cool. That's great. I might wait till a sale. I'll be very honest. Like when it hits, when the trilogy pack comes out and it hits under $20, okay, I'm in. I'm interested. Just because that's not what I'm looking for is, you know, I don't want just, oh, let me refresh the graphics for you. But if they can start adding some creature comforts and quality of life stuff into these games, and I don't know, I guess that gets to the point of where you blur the line at what a remaster is, but if we can get to that point and start adding some more features, maybe that they've learned from GTA 4 and GTA 5 and put them in these games, then I'm more interested to say, okay, show me what you got. Show me, like, but Rutu in chat says, but what if your fave streamer Ninja started playing all these old GTA games? Man, that's a conversation for another day. We're going to leave it at that. But, like, it's, you know, he mentions as well, like, the ray tracing and the physics, yeah, that's all fine and dandy. But I have a memory of these games, and I know the nostalgia I have for them. And just, I think that in order for me to have a want to go out and play these games, they'd have to do more than just a pretty reskin with ray tracing. That's just that's my two cents. Not knocking anybody else. I think this will be great, as a lot of remasters usually tend to be. I think this will be great for people who never got to play these. A lot of the younger generation that is now older didn't get a chance to play them back then. Or if for some reason you're one of the 12 people that missed out on the boat of these games back when they came out back in the day, then this is a great chance for you to revisit and jump into those games and see kind of what everybody was clamoring about. Just make sure you put on your rose-colored glasses and go back about 15 to 20 years so you can really, truly experience it. But, no, it's cool. It's excited. I'm interested. But the other part of the question I had about this, Seth, is, I'm answering my second question here. I think, you know, will this hold us over until GTA 6? I think if this is true and if this does come out, it's mainly being used as a stopgap. Hey, we need more time on GTA 6. It's not coming out for 2 to 3 years, according to Jason Schreier over at Bloomberg. So let's just go in. Here's some remastered trilogies. You can play with that until we get the next big update coming out. And it kind of got me thinking about GTA 6 and really wanted to ask, like, what else can they do with this franchise? I feel like, you know, Vice City and San Andreas had their kind of 80s and 90s aesthetics appropriately, and then GTA kind of had their early 2000s, I guess, aesthetics, 90s, early 2000s, mm-hmm. And then, you know, of course, GTA 5 kind of brings it in, 4 and 5 really bring it into the current realm here. What else do you think they could do, Seth? Is it another period piece? Is it further in the future? What do you think?
That's a great question. And I love how this is like turning into a Grand Theft Auto discussion, because this is way more interesting to me than, oh, we're remaking 3 really old games for Switch, because that's been the definition of the last, I think, 4 years of gaming in a lot of news areas. So when I think about GTA's future, lies in the online mode. That's hands down, not a question at this point. So whatever they do is going to be heavily tied into an online world and environment. And honestly, the only thing that I think about when I think about GTA 5 is it's just like they did some content updates for the single player mode, but really their focus has been on online multiplayer. So when I think about what comes next, the thing about GTA, and this is where I think they missed the mark with some of the Red Dead Online stuff, like, people like cars. That is a part of GTA.
Yeah, cars are okay. Auto. They're all right.
They're, like, it is not like even those older games, right? Like the gunplay in GTA was never amazing, right? Mm-hmm. It's Rockstar's always had that real spongy control scheme. It's not known for its like out of car experience, but when you're in the car, that's definitely a great experience. I personally think that a return to that Vice, that Vice era, that 1980s Miami would be really cool. It would be an awesome departure from GTA 5's West Coast approach, right? Get that Miami vibe, neon lights. You know, it definitely fits in a lot with the, you know, the crime, you know, the type of crime, right? A lot of drugs, a lot of sex, a lot of just like violence, right? In the 1980s Miami Vice era.
Right up Grand Theft Auto's alley.
So yeah,
and speaking everything that that crowd wants.
I think that Vice City is still to this day one of the most beloved versions of that game because of its style. It had such a unique aesthetic to it. So I do think that going all in on that would be really cool and very interesting to explore. The catch with that is like, how does that tie into GTA 5's online mode? How does that tie into... It's like, I just don't know that GTA 6 can happen, because why would you risk it all when GTA 5's online has been doing so well? Why would you risk it all on something new when you could just like take what's there with the online and like maybe update and revitalize it and be like, all right, we're making a standalone version of the online that's GTA Online and it's only going to run on next gen consoles. We've got a rebuilt city and we're going to put in some like event stuff in there as well. And so
I apologize. Everybody then you get into this idea. I'm tinkering around as we're here. I'll let you guys watch it there and I'll keep tinkering on the background.
Cool. Yeah. So like, I just don't know how you make a new GTA when the GTA 5 online mode is doing so well right now. So I personally am a huge proponent of games, these type of mega AAA franchises moving away from like 5, 6, 7, 8 entries and going into, here's a version of the game. We're going to make a campaign that evolves over time. Mm-hmm. We'll release new chapters. Like I said, I'm playing Genshin Impact right now, and this is a game I think that is nailing what the future of AAA-style games is going to be as far as a narrative is approach, right? You have one big content update a year that adds a new area to the map. It adds new mechanics to the game, new characters to the game. You know, whatever it is your game wants, right? It could be, for GTA, it'd be whatever new cars.
Yeah.
And so that's where I see GTA 4 going, where it's like, all right, now you're going to be playing as Tony Malone, right? And Tony Malone is this guy that moved to Vice City. He's a New York gangster who's moved to Vice City to make his name known. And then next year, there's a new campaign where you're playing as, you know, maybe a guy from the Spanish cartel, right? And now there's this like side story and there's a new faction introduced, right? Spanish cartel. And that's kind of where I see GTA going, more so than like, here's the sixth one with a new story mode, but then also a new online mode. It's just, does that make sense?
Yeah, you think the GTA Online landscape has really changed Rockstar's trajectory for the game, especially seeing how much money they're pulling in from the online infrastructure?
Absolutely. Look at their release schedule. I mean, they have not released a game since Red Dead 2.
Yeah, they don't have to.
And I would say, yeah, they don't have to. And like, they've released Grand Theft Auto on 3 console generations. Like, that's insane. Like,
the same game on 3 different console generations.
Mario levels of madness, where the game just keeps coming out on new versions of the hardware. So I just really don't know. Actually, Rutu's got it in chat. GTA Zootopia. There you go. That's it. I'd take it.
He's helping you out too. It puts in chat GTA the Spice Melange Edition. Come on, Seth.
The Spice, it's right there. You got it. Listen. All right. Press Y to hijack the sandworm.
Would love it.
It's, if they do this re-release, it's going to be a cash in. It's going to be, you know, it's coming to Switch because of course it is. And it sounds like that, you know, this idea of like heavily modded version seems like a Dolphin emulator, you know, a crap, what are they? Mister, is that the Mister is the, you know, emulation box? It's like,
I've never heard of that.
Probably could have emulated better, but we're gonna sell it to you for $60 because we can or whatever. So
yeah, we'll definitely see. All I'm gonna say, Seth, is that if they add the hot coffee mod into San Andreas, I'm in. I'm ready to go.
Get out, Cameron. I am gonna hijack this one. I'm gonna do a topic 1.5.
Go ahead.
You got me talking about remasters, and it reminded me that there's a rumor that at QuakeCon next week, we might see, it's either next week or the week after, we might see that revitalization. This is what they, revitalization is the word they used, of Quake, original Quake. And as much as I don't care about Grand Theft Auto, I do care about Quake. So, we're going to talk about this more if it actually happens. I don't like to give a lot of steam to unvetted rumors. But let me tell you, Cameron, if we're getting back to OG Quake, Seth's going to be a happy man. We're going to have a good time here on the Rocket Punch show. So,
okay. All right. We'll definitely we'll check it out and see when it comes out there. before we guys jump into the second topic of the night here, I want to give a take a quick few minutes here to talk about how you guys can support the show. Again, if you think we're doing a great job, you want to help support Rocket Punch and what I'm doing here, a couple of different ways you can do that. The easiest way, of course, you can head over to our social media channels there. You can follow and share us. I am at Rocket Punch Go on Twitter. That is at Darth Turner over on Twitter as well. You can check us out, follow us, see when we drop the latest content that we have there for you. You can also review us on your audio service of choice if you're listening via Apple iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, anything like that. Take a few minutes of your day. Throw us a review. Let us know how we're doing. It helps other like-minded gamers find us. But for the extra people that want to go the extra mile, that want to go even further beyond, there is a way you can do that too. If you have your free Twitch Prime sub, you can consider subscribing to us right here on twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive. Get access to some cool emotes to use in chat during streams and whatnot. You can also consider becoming a patron over at patreon.com/rocketpunch for as little as $1 a month. You can help support the show, keep the lights on, and get some cool exclusive behind the scenes goodies and things, as well as past previous behind the scenes and bonus episodes that have been released in our entire history. Speaking of Patreon, I want to give a special shout out to our Rocket Punch producers supporting us at our highest tier over on Patreon. That is Jossie M, Julian P, Steven S, and of course all of our people supporting us right here on twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive. Thank you guys so much for your continued support. But always remember, guys, whether you're supporting us on Patreon or Twitch, or you're supporting us just by sharing the content and giving us that review, we appreciate everything you guys do, and we want to thank you for taking your time to listen and have fun with us as we talk about all sorts of randomness. Next up, number two, Gamescom is a thing. It's clearly becoming, you know, it has become the rival to E3, I think. And we have, we got some reveals here. We got some new information from Microsoft on their Gamescom 2021 plans. I'm going to read a little bit from Sandra Odak over at Xbox News feed here. August is always Xbox a very...
Wire.
The Wire. Thank you. The Xbox Wire. I knew there was a theme there. They always have themes.
Yeah.
August is always a very special time for us at Team Xbox. This time of the year, we would normally pack our stuff and meet our fans and community in Cologne, Germany at Gamescom. This year, however, Gamescom will be a 100% virtual experience that you can tune in from all over the world. The good news is that Xbox will be at Gamescom 2021, and you can join with your very own front row seat as we share the latest updates and gameplay for some of the biggest games coming soon to Xbox. Here is an overview of what you can expect from us at Gamescom 2021. To warm you up for Gamescom week, we'll be airing the official Gamescom 2021 Xbox stream, hosted by Paris Lilly and Kate Yeager. Join us on August 24th at 10 a.m. Pacific time to learn more about our biggest exclusive games lineup ever. You'll get in-depth updates from some of our previously announced Xbox Game Studio titles alongside some of our third-party partners, including some of the incredible titles coming to Xbox this holiday, upcoming releases to our monthly subscription service, Xbox Game Pass, and much more. You can watch the show on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook Gaming, Twitter, and select regional sites. To make sure all of our fans around the globe can enjoy the stream, we plan to offer support for 30 languages. A lot of other details there that they're going through. They're also going to have, as it says near the bottom here, they have save up to 75% off during the Xbox Gamescom sale. But Seth, I want to talk about Xbox at Gamescom. I want to talk about this pretty standard stuff here, but I wanted to see what should we expect from Xbox at this event. What games, what things do you think that we, you know, you want to see, that we might see, that we will see at Gamescom at the presentation next week?
Great question. I'm going to cite directly from this Wire article, in-depth updates from some of our previously announced Xbox Game Studios titles. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of new announcements here. I do think that we'll get some updates on Halo Infinite. We'll probably get some updates from some marketing crossover events, probably Battlefield. I expect will show up in some way or another. I think it's very interesting to watch to watch kind of the different media strategies from Sony and Xbox. You really are seeing Sony commit to like their we do our own thing. We kind of they're going what I'm going to call the path of Nintendo, where they've kind of doubled down on like people will show up when we want them to. And until then, we're just going to kind of do our own thing. Whereas Microsoft, I think, is sticking to that industry zeitgeist of going to E3, going to Gamescom, you know, really being there and like showing up at certain events throughout the year. So the thing I really like about Xbox recently is that they are tapping into folks like Paris Lilly for some of their events. I am really proud of them for getting out of the, how do I put this, the like typical hostess type of setup. For a while, it was the same. You know, we see a lot of the same like British folks. You know, they have that very pleasing accent that people love to listen to. A lot of white people on those streams. And so having someone like Paris, who's like a down-to-earth dad, he's like he is a huge games media guy, but also he's just like a dad. He has like a day job. He's like, you know, a little bit older black guy. Like, that's cool that like someone like him is going to be hosting Xbox's official, like for the second time in a row, Xbox's official stream. So I really like that they're really starting to branch out as far as what they consider like a acceptable host. But as far as the games are concerned, I don't think you're going to get surprised by anything. I think you're going to see some updates for Psychonauts. Psychonauts is kind of coming around this time. You're going to see definitely some Halo. You're definitely going to see. I'd actually have to look up some stuff to see like what Xbox has got going this year. You're definitely going to see Game Pass announcements. You know, I would not be surprised to see a couple of other games kind of get announced for Game Pass. I know Stardew Valley is coming, I believe, in October.
Oh, really?
I would have actually
forgot about that.
Stardew Valley is coming out, so that might be where they officially drop a trailer. So I don't expect this to be like a huge new announcement stream, but Xbox is just showing up. You know, they're showing up. They're being involved in the conversation, and they're not really like they're not stopping to like just let the hype sizzle. They're trying to push things forward and really getting things going. However, I'm curious from you, Cameron, what are some of your predictions? What do you think is going to come out of this?
I mean, Halo for sure. That's I think we can all agree on that. Halo's I think their big title this fall. They've got to come up. They've got to show something. I don't know if it's going to be multiplayer, if we're going to get some more details on the campaign. But I think Gamescom is a perfect time for them to showcase, okay, we've had a year. Here are the updates that we are ready to roll out with for the game. You know, Other than that, here, and I'm pulling up a Wikipedia article that has details on some of their games that they have rolling out. Some thoughts and ideas. Grounded, we could see some more updates to Grounded. Maybe see a date or a possible time frame when that's going to go into a 1.0 state and be available everywhere. That would be really cool. I know we've had fun a lot with Grounded as well, so that would be definitely something to jump on. One thing I have on the list, I've totally forgotten about it because I think they showed it once, and they haven't really talked about it much, is Crossfire X, especially that being out in Germany and at Gamescom and have a more international pull than maybe E3. That might be the time to showcase Crossfire X, because I know that's a big game out in the international market there. I'm looking at some of the games they have here. Maybe we see something from Senua Saga. They haven't really given a date with that yet, but they've been really quiet since their official reveal, almost two years ago?
I feel like that's a game award thing, because that's where they originally announced that game.
You think they save the next big time they talk about that until then?
Yeah, I think it's a little too big, because like Gamescom has always been more about like getting in touch with fans than it has been about big, exciting new announcements. And so that's where I think, when I think about Senua Saga, I really feel like that's a game awards thing. That's like a new anticipated hype game, not updates on... I wouldn't include that in like an update on pre-existing things. But that's just me.
Okay. I mean, some of their games that are coming up, they could see some show some stuff on. I would love to see more of State of Decay 3. Get some more information on State of Decay 3. We got that, last year? I think it was last year in 2020, and then it's just kind of been like, shh, don't say anything about it. So I'd really be interested to see that. We're definitely going to see Forza Horizon 5. That's going to be shown. They'll detail and talk more about that game. But other than that, I'm looking at their studio right now. I don't know what else to say. I would have thought we would have seen something from Everwild, but I know with some of the shuffle around in the studio there, I think there was an article saying that that's got pushed back for another year or two. You know, there's still a chance we won't see anything from Senua Saga. I don't think we're going to see Perfect Dark. I would be shocked if we saw anything from Perfect Dark. Anything from Avowed or some of their other games that I really think they're going to take some time to let simmer in the oven here. And I don't think Gamescom is going to be the place they really want to talk about that stuff. Those are my things. That's what I'm thinking. I'll be happy with just Halo. I want to see some more Halo. See if they show me single player campaign stuff, I'll be very excited about that.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what do you think they're going to show from Halo? Because I do agree that single player would be a big one.
I think they show a quick multiplayer, like, sizzle reel, maybe from the technical flight that happened the past week or two, and then maybe a quick little story trailer to get people set up for it coming out. And I will say, I think we get a release date. I think that will probably be one of the bigger pieces of news around Halo or around Xbox is we get a release date, because we're approaching the point where it's August now. I think that we've got to hear something. I don't think they can wait much longer to give a release date. I mean, we know it's going to be November. My guess is definitely November. I just don't know when.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, looking at the Xbox Game Studios breakdown, Age of Empires 4, I would also say is like a likely candidate to show up there.
Oh, I forgot about Age of Empires. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's set to come out. I know that game's been a little tumultuous with its community recently. Maybe some of the visuals aren't quite up to expectations, but whatever. Let's see. Oh, Mojang. Listen, Cameron, you know this about me. I love Minecraft Dungeons. Last piece of DLC for where they added the end to the Minecraft Dungeons world. However, I have, I'm a weekly listener of the Xbox podcast. One of the new hosts on there is a community person from the Minecraft team, and she has said that Minecraft Dungeons is not over as far as ongoing updates. They have new content that's planned. It's just not that traditional DLC that they've been doing so far. So my hunch is that they might announce some new modes or something like that at Gamescom. Gamescom is the perfect place to announce something like that. I just don't know we're going to see a lot of like big, exciting new things. The only thing that might shock me is if we get to see some updates from Bethesda. They did mention that like Bethesda Germany is going to have some updates on their side of things. So I don't really know
about Bethesda side. Still working there.
Yeah, people forget Xbox owns them now.
Yeah.
It's still, I think a lot of people have still like forgotten that. But yeah, like, Doom, Fallout, like Fallout 76 updates are now Xbox news. Like that's, and it's honestly time for another 76 update too. You know, they just came out with that new story update, and it's at least time to announce what that next update might bring.
Oh, good point. Good point.
So that's another one to think about. But yeah, your ESO, you know, ESO usually has two story DLCs and then the big DLC. So they just came out with Blackwood, so it might be time to hear about like what's next for Blackwood.
Okay.
And then everything else is gonna be, I think, is just gonna be Game Awards. Game Awards is where the hype is nowadays, I feel. So
yeah, I guess that December? I'm sure they'll probably go the route of doing another digital version for that. So yeah, there's a possibility here. We'll definitely find out. We'll see. Yeah. There. Moving on to our last and final topic for the night, guys. It's I said it at the top of the show, and even to like a certain point, it still kind of blows my mind. It has been 5 years since No Man's Sky released back in 2016. Since like a little bit after we started this thing, mm-hmm. Seth, with Rocket Punch, No Man's Sky rolled out. If you've listened to us at all or just listened to games media for the last 5 years, you know the story. It took a beating when it came out. They went quiet. They came back. And it's basically been free update to enhance the game since then. I really wish I had my screen share working because I did send the best comic strip to Seth.
You did. You really did.
And I, about Sean Murray and Hello Games, and I died laughing. I will see if I can, like, post it on Twitter. It was fucking fantastic, and I loved it. But I wanted to talk about No Man's Sky and really kind of, you know, I want to jump back in. I've always had this itch to kind of jump back in and I just haven't had the time or made the time to do so, but we've played it enough. I wanted to talk, Seth, about just what we think about the game now, 5 years later, and another question to ask is, like, what should other devs and maybe even gamers learn from Hello Games and this entire scenario? We've talked on the show about their, you know, their rise back to fortune, and they're doing really great, and they've got a lot of goodwill now, and the game is going very well. A lot of active people from last I understand. But, like, what do we think? What do you think about No Man's Sky right now? If somebody asked you if you should play No Man's Sky now, what would you say?
Sure. This is a hard conversation to have, Cameron, because if you've been listening to this podcast for a long time, you're going to know there's a famous episode of this podcast where I kind of go all out in sharing some thoughts about the way this game was promoted and announced and kind of leading up to launch, some misdirection, some, you know, fibs. I'm going to use the word fibs to be kind. So maybe a little white lies about what is actually in the game at launch. So it's really interesting to look back at this with, you know, 5 years of content behind us. And I think that they've done their, They've done exactly what you need to do in situations like this, where you have a game that comes out that makes a ton of money and lots of people buy it, and you want to kind of follow through on that commitment that people made. It was interestingly enough, I was talking about this with some friends maybe about a week or so back, and I had this thought, and I just kind of spat it out at the table, and everyone was like, oh, that makes sense. If they had launched this game on Steam, Hello Games would not exist today. That game would have probably broken the record for most refunds until Cyberpunk came out. Cyberpunk probably broke that record. But the fact is that this is kind of what happens when you're dealing in that, I'm going to say, that older mindset of games sales, like before we moved to a predominantly ongoing entertainment flow, right? Like, we're at this point, the biggest and most popular games are free to play with constant updates coming to them.
Yeah.
So the only constant is change. However, in 2016, let me go ahead and put this in perspective, Cameron. We were very excited that summer to take our phones outside and go play Pokemon Go, the hot new game, right?
Oh, God. I forgot about that. Jeez.
Especially on PlayStation, the entirety of games was, man, I'm really excited to buy this finished game. This was before Fortnite opened the door to early access beta games and crossplay.
Holy crap.
Back at old school Sony of, it's PlayStation only, and when it's launched, it's launched. Like, they were not really a big fan of, like, free extra updates. We'll sell you DLC 6 months from now, but there's no, like, we're gonna add anything to this game.
Forgot about the Fortnite thing.
Yeah. So, looking back 5 years later, I think No Man's Sky was very fortunate to get blessed by Sony. I think Sony learned to not ever do this again. Like, don't ever do this with a small developer like that again. Don't make a game that's made by like six people seem like a game made by 600 people. That was kind of the big problem with that game. And I'll be honest, like, if that game had come out around when Cyberpunk had, you'd have seen a lot of the same stuff where it's like, developer would be like, go return the game. And Sony's like, we don't do returns like that. Like, all that return customer satisfaction stuff, none of that existed back then. And so basically a lot of people bought this game. Hello Games made a lot of money, and they've just kind of burned through that money recently, or since then, kind of paying their staff to keep updating the game. However, to answer your original question, Cameron, is the game good now? Yeah, of course. It's great. They added co-op like they said they would. Well,
the question is, if somebody came and asked you, should I buy No Man's Sky, what do you tell them?
I mean, if you like Minecraft, yes, it's like that kind of game. Like, don't think it's not a crafting survival game. I'd say it's even more crafting than survival. But, yeah, I mean... When that game added the ability to invite a friend and y'all to play in the same game together, that's when that game came out for me. That's like... That's what they promised in 2014 in the Game Informer coverage was, you'll be able to play with your friends. And it didn't have it at launch, but they added it in like 2019. And since then, it's been nothing but gravy. And they got this new update coming out. What is it? What is this one called? Frontiers.
And they just teased it. We don't know what it is or what it entails. That is the next update. They are committed, obviously, to continuing to improve on the game.
What do you think this update has, Cameron?
Frontiers? I don't know. I really don't. Maybe different new spaces to look at. Frontiers makes you think of like the wide open frontier, so maybe like a new galaxy or some like new other hub or type of world. Maybe they add more stuff to the current worlds and the random generating biomes.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll find out, I'm sure. They'll let us know. But it's what. One of the questions I wanted to ask in talking about No Man's Sky is, if you could go back in time, what would you're with you know, Doc Brown, and you guys are jumping into the DeLorean, and you go back 6 years, we'll say, before the release of the game, and you get a chance to tell Sean Murray and his teams at Hello Games one thing. You can only tell them one thing that will help them, you hope to help them do better. Like, what do you tell them?
I'm going to say something. It's going to come off real weird. I would tell them, don't change anything.
Really?
The fact that Hello Games still exists is testament to the fact that what they did was not cool. What they did was wrong. They lied about the game, and they bamboozled one of the biggest video game brands in the world into marketing their game as a full-on AAA mega release. And you have to realize, Cameron, this was in the midst of, like, Uncharted 4, of, like, Bloodborne, like, big, heavy hitters. PlayStation 4 was riding on top, right? This was the glory time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they bamboozled them into marketing this game. So much. I just pulled up real quickly from Wikipedia. It made $43 million in revenue the year it came out.
Wow.
Don't change anything. Don't change anything, because you pulled it off. You pulled off the greatest con in video game history. Now, you went back to, like, make up for it, but, like, the only other thing you could have told them to do is delay the game until it was done. But that's not how games work. You know that. I know that. Games got to come out at some point. And if you can get $43 million for what you've got done today...
In the first year.
Yeah, but then in the next 3 or 4 years, you can become the best ongoing game at the Game Awards and win back 90% of that goodwill. Do it. Of course do it. Like, of course. Why wouldn't you make $43 million in revenue? Like, that's insane. Absolutely insane.
Okay.
823,000 copies of that game is sold on a single platform.
And now, like, it's available on...
Now it's on everything.
Well, no, it's on Xbox, PlayStation, and PC. It's not on Switch.
Not on Switch, yeah.
Oh, God, what if that's the next update, is that it's on Switch?
A cloud edition. There you go.
Oh, boy.
Like I said, I think that game was finished when you could co-op with friends. That is what... makes Minecraft fun. That is what makes Terraria fun. That is what makes Rust fun. That is what makes every Ark Survival Evolved. Every single survival crafting game is fun when you can co-op with your friends. And so in my mind, that's when that game came out, was when they added on the ability for me to invite my friend and for us to build a base on Bumbly Blue 4 together. And we could strip mine the planet for all its materials and then move to our next planet and build this super base. That is what No Man's Sky should have been about, instead of what it was about, which was disappointment and letdowns for 3 years.
All right. man, if I had to do that, if I had to do that, what I would probably... especially thinking on your response, if I could go back in time and tell those guys to do one thing, I would tell them to shut up, stop talking. Like, look, I think that whether you as a developer, Sean Murray, stop getting in front of the camera. You need to tell Sony to shove their PR contract up their butt, and, like, we're not doing it. Shut the hell up and just work on your game. I think that one of the biggest things, I agree that, you know, it's kind of that trial by fire. Hello Games and Sean Murray had to go through that crucible to kind of really get to where they are now, and have the success that they did with No Man's Sky. But I think that if anything, telling them any piece of advice back 6 years ago, if they just kept their mouth shut and stopped touting and saying all these things that can be misconstrued or just outright not going to be true when the game is released because maybe you thought they were going to be ready.
There's not a lot of misconstruing.
Maybe there was something you thought was going to be ready a year before the game came out, then you find out that it's not going to be ready at release. And so now you've got to double back, but then you don't want to, and just all other developer stuff. I digress. Big thing is just stop talking. Stop talking, period. And I think that if that would have made a big stretch in possibly setting better expectations or possibly having people set better expectations, whether it's through Hello Games themselves or if they set their own expectations of the game, that would have gone a lot better, and there wouldn't have been as much expectation or anticipation with this game. People would have said the proof is in the pudding. Like, oh, this looks cool. Oh, this looks interesting from the trailers they saw, and then jumped in and tried it. And I think in that case, more people would have been, I don't want to say more receptive, but they would have accepted the game more at launch. And maybe that would have helped them to have a bigger player base now. But that's my two cents is to go back, tell Sean Murray, tell the Hello Games dev team, shut up, stop talking, keep your mouth shut. Just say, hey, we're working on the game. Yeah, developers do it right now. Hey, we've got a lot of cool things. You know, we can't wait for you guys to play No Man's Sky. We're really excited. We're still working on some stuff. We'll have more to share for you as we get closer to launch. Bye. That's it. That's all you got to do.
I imagine you at the interview with Sean Murray. And, like, I want you to visualize in your brain Sean Murray, right? His very happy, always excited, very, like...
Okay.
Just optimistic. And he's just like, we're so excited about... Nope. You're there just cutting them off.
I'm the PR guy in the background.
We got to tell him about that. Nope. No, you don't.
Mm-mm. Shut up. Next question. Keep it moving. You know what? The interview's over. Let's go, Sean. Come on. Let's roll out here.
It will be available on a disc. It will also be available digitally.
Boom. There you go. That's it. That's all you need to know. But no, I think even back then, there was enough, you know, the digital fingerprint and digital age, there was enough that, you know, you look now, there's not. A lot of games don't have to say a whole lot. A lot of games don't say a whole lot. They stealth drop, especially indie games, and you find out through them via word of mouth. You try them out. And so you could have done that back then, and that's what they probably should have done back then.
But yeah.
That's my two cents. That's my thoughts.
That's correct. That's correct, Cameron. That is correct.
So. But, guys, that is it. That's all I've got here, and that's all we've got for episode 45 of the Rocket Punch Show. Like I said, not a whole lot of megaton news, but that's okay. Sometimes there are nice, calm days. This will give me extra time to maybe go play a game before I go to bed tonight. But, guys, thank you so much for tuning in, whether you're listening, whether you're watching. We appreciate it. I'll probably spend the next 30 minutes trying to figure out my technical issues with my capture card because that's bugging the hell out of me. We appreciate everybody listening. Seth, any final words for the audience?
Oh, that's it. Games are coming. Maybe. Hopefully. We'll see. COVID is happening.
I think let me double check here. I think next week is the launch of Psychonauts 2.
Okay.
It is next week. So it won't be next episode. It'll be the episode after that, which... very strong chance. I'll verify it on Twitter, but there's like a 90% chance. I'll go ahead and say it now. We won't have an episode next week. This weekend, it's my anniversary to my wife. So likely we'll be taking the weekend off. And so there's a good chance the next episode we'll be talking about Psychonauts 2, Seth. We'll give our impressions on it. Maybe I'll throw in some Madden and let you guys know how Madden is. Surprise, it'll be the same as it is every year. And a bunch of other new game stuff there, so stay tuned for that. Also, that'll be around the time we'll start doing the streaming and whatnot as well, so stay tuned for that. But guys, once again, I want to thank you so much for tuning in and supporting Rocket Punch. You guys have a good night and have a good game. We'll talk to you next time.